Bridge Point on all campuses. How are we doing today? You feeling good? Good. Welcome to week one of Powernoia. This will be a four-week series that will run through the month of October. Powernoia being the word that is used for the anxiety one feels when your electronic device battery is on low to no power. Powernoia. In this series, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We got a lot of creative elements and things happening beyond just on Sundays that will be really unique to this series. But we're going to talk about what does it look like to recharge a battery? What does it look like? When do you need to power off? How do you find time that in a world that is loud and distracting and noisy to hear and listen to that which really matters? And even carving out, finding some rhythms, some space for your own journey. I'm excited about this one. What does it say about us as a culture that our phone batteries need backup batteries so they don't die? All right? That's what Rick on the bumper was talking about, that for 9 easy payments of $29.99, you can get a power bank, a phone bank battery. I guess Rick is being generous with us because everybody on every campus, you get an opportunity. 4 of you will be lucky individuals. Those 4 at Tyrone and downtown, you check under your seats or the empty seats next to you for a phone bank. Seminole, Clearwater, the sleepiest people that are running on low battery are going to get a power bank today. So everybody check under your seats, balcony as well, on every campus. See if you're getting a Powernoia phone bank trying to prevent. We got some winners in the room. Hopefully downtown, if you're smart, you'll check under the seat next to you as well. You're looking for a white box that has a Powernoia phone bank. Only 4 of them, because at 9 payments of $29.99, we couldn't break the church's budget on these, obviously. What does it say about us? Now we got a lot of grumpy people in the room because only 4 people won. Well, I've got other places to be and places to go than to be here. What does it say about our culture that we need batteries for our batteries? We live, American culture says, go, 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 produce more, be at more, be better, do better, study to get better, learn better, be all this, go, go, go. It never slows down. Busy, busy, busy. I was convicted as a pastor today because I'm even going to have to focus for myself because so often somebody says, hey, how's it going? Busy. Right? We pride ourselves on busy. Hey, how are you doing today? Busy. Good busy, but busy. Staying busy. Always busy. Busy, busy, busy. It's a good busy. Staying busy. I'm always busy. And we pride ourselves on the busyness. It's our culture. Even if you look up synonyms in the dictionary, I don't know if you've ever read one of those, but synonyms for the word busy, all virtuous words. Here's what I mean. Synonyms for busy are active, accomplished, hardworking, diligent, industrious. We pride ourselves in America on our ability to be busy. If there's downtime, we fill it. If there's work left, we bring it home. If there's school left, we take it home. We become a master at getting somewhere, of eating our food on the way to the next place so that we can accomplish that task and then listen to a podcast that takes us home to do more work at home. Busy, busy, busy. Whether you are a professional whose job just requires and demands a lot of you, you're a parent or especially a single parent whose kids never slow down, ever. Or you're a student whose work is always happening. Our culture, the teams, the clubs, the extras, so much in our culture is about being busy. This is not, just so you know, an anti-busy sermon series. In fact, there are seasons that are going to be busier than others. And this is not a you should slow down and be lazier series, because lazy is not the way to go either. This is a series that says work hard, be who you were made to be, but make sure in order to be who you were made to be that you're finding time to recharge. Because before we go any further, you need to understand something that's completely paramount to this series, and that's this. Nothing in creation runs forever. Nothing in creation runs forever. It was never intended to. Either things run their course and they expire, they die, they pass on, or they necessitate being recharged. I think for most of us, none of us ever look at our cell phones and think, what's wrong with this thing? I have to charge it regularly. right? That's part of it. Like, we just know that sometimes things will need a recharge. They require that. But in a culture that is constantly about going, about packing our time, about making sure we're doing more and being more, we will never be our best. Listen to me. We will never be our best if we're not finding time to recharge so that we can be all we were made to be. But I have a feeling that for most of us, and maybe you're in a good season, you're in a rested season, you're in a healthy season, most of us allow the busy to define us more than seeking the moments for the recharge. You've seen this played out, right? It happens in the subtly and in little moments where you suddenly find yourself with a little more snarky comments or a little snappier responses than you used to, right? Or you have those moments where it's those little things that people do that it's like, why are they the way that they are? Little things, things that when you look back, it's like, why did that even bother me? We begin to run on empty, or even, heaven forbid, we get used to this. And so then the frustrations come easier, or the snappiness gets snappier, and the snark gets snarkier. And it's this endless cycle until you then find yourself full on yelling at your kids, or yelling at work, or exploding on people, or a random accident, innocent in nature, happens. And it's like you just exploded on whatever caused that situation. Burnout begins to set in. People start breaking down. Your body physically begins to absolutely wear out because you weren't made to run forever. And we've all seen the other side of that too, right? You felt the sting of the damaged relationship because of your words, because of your exhaustion. You've seen how it affected your kids when you unloaded on them. You've seen how it's affected the friendship that folks don't want to be around anymore. You've seen that you're not as productive and you're not your best when you get into those cycles. But instead of allowing those warning signs to trigger in us that we need a recharge, culture says keep pushing or else you're weak. And then we reach those places where we look around and we wonder why we're not engaging with people the way that we used to. And we wonder why things aren't getting done or we're reacting. We don't even like the people that we become in those moments. And if we're really honest, deep on the inside, there's a hollowness, an emptiness. And if you want to even talk about your faith, for some of us, we feel like we have to work so hard to impress God that things on the inside even feel empty, like we've spun our wheels and God's not even noticing, as if our relationship with God depended on us anyway. Have you ever been there? Paranoia, it's the anxiety that comes when you recognize that you're getting to low to no battery, but all the work is still continuing. And as a culture, we forget we weren't made to run forever. But instead of allowing ourselves to look inside, and I'm not talking about just saying I need to get an 8 hours of rest or I need to plop in front of the TV for some Netflix time. I'm talking about that inside soul-searching moment to remind ourselves that we weren't made to run at the pace we're running at. Instead, we'd rather distract ourselves. We'd rather turn on a television. We'd rather listen to a podcast. We'd rather not embrace silence. Or we'd rather turn to our cell phones, right? This is not an anti-cell phone series. These are super helpful devices. I hope that you use them on a regular basis. But I'm going to ask everybody on every campus, pull out your cell phone for just a second, please. It's time to have a little thought experiment. Everybody pull out your cell phones. This is going to be so fun and also so embarrassing for me. Here's what I want you to do when you get your phone out. If you're an Apple phone user, I want you to go to settings and then screen time. If you're an Android user, setting and then digital well-being. And then we get into the good stuff. Once you've gone to settings and then screen time on the Apple phone, it's just a little bit down there. Click on your phone right under screen time. And then at the top, click on the last 7 days. I submitted this screenshot on Thursday at 1:55 p.m., at which point I was averaging 3 hours and 35 minutes per day on my phone. Now, before all of you get too judgmental on me, you need to know that that's down 15% from the week before. You should all be applauding because I'm heading in the right direction. Another really exciting statistic for me is that I spent in the last 7 days 17 hours and 44 minutes on social media. So I'm really making something of myself. Of those 25 hours and 5 minutes that I spent on my phone in the last 7 days, 1 hour and 39 minutes of it was productivity. Your boy knows how to waste some time. You can scroll down on this, see your most used apps. Yay, Facebook and Instagram at the top of the list. You can scroll down and see how many times you picked your phone up, and you can scroll down further and see how many notifications you received during the day. But in an effort that I'm not the only one bearing my soul and looking like a fool, let's play a little game. On every campus, how many of you would be willing to be honest in the church today and raise your hand and say, you know what, my daily average is higher than 3 hours and 35 minutes? Who would raise your hand? Got a few hands up here. Our students are about to win this game, so watch how it unfolds. How many of you would be willing to raise your hand saying, bro, I'm over 4 hours average a day? Yeah, got some hands going up here. How many of you would be willing to say, I'm over 5 hours averaged a day? Awesome. To be awake about 12 hours a day and you using almost half of it on your phone is quite the accomplishment. How many of you on every campus are willing to raise your hand saying, I spend way too much time looking at my phone based on these numbers. I have a problem. Help me. That's my hand that goes up. I loved after the first service, I had somebody on this campus that came up to me and she said, I play Netflix for my kids on my phone, so I promise I'm not on it 20-ish hours a day. It just plays and plays and plays. This is not an anti-phone message, though, because if we can be honest with each other for just a second, I want to remind you of something that I'm assuming is true for you because it is true for me. My phone, regardless of how alarming the statistics are, my phone has never forced me to waste time on it. My phone has never said, do this or I'm crashing. My phone has never held me at threat of life and said, stare and waste endless hours looking at me. I have chosen to use the phone, and this isn't even all bad. Busy is not all bad. Distraction from busy is not all bad. And as a pastor, productivity is social networking. Connecting with people is a large part of my job. This is not an anti-phone, anti-busy series. This is just simply a question of, are we finding time to recharge? While you have your phones out, one thing that would be super helpful for you as we jump into a sermon is to take an opportunity to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. And if you don't have the Bible on your phone, maybe try YouVersion Bible app. This is not a paid advertisement or sponsorship because the app is free. But since you have your phone out and you're spending too much time on it anyway, what if we started here, right? This is not an anti-phone, anti-busy series. This is a question that just simply says, what if Jesus' words are true? We're going to park in Matthew 11, but I want to see a statement that Jesus made that I think is so profound, even for our culture today, especially here in America. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, 36, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? In a culture that says more, we need more from you. I need more as a dad. I need more as an employee. I need more as a student. I need more as a player or a team member. I need more as a friend. In a culture that says, find space for more, accomplish more, do more, be more, get better. What does it profit us if we gain all that but forfeit the core of who we are? Deep down inside, into our souls, what if we gain all of this but are empty and hollow on the inside? How does it matter? So maybe the big question today is not how much time are we distracting ourselves, or how much of a problem is it that our culture produces burnout more than it does health. But the biggest question is, how do you rest? How do you really rest? And I'm not talking about just propping your feet up and watching TV or kicking it for 8 hours at night. I'm saying real, true, genuine rest. How do you find that? And I was instantly reminded in this, the preparation for this series, that Jesus had some really powerful words on this very topic. In fact, he was talking to a bunch of people that were busy spinning their wheels. Unfortunately, they thought if they performed for God, if they went to church enough, if they talked right, if they made sure not to cuss, if they gave plenty, if they did enough right things, that God was going to be pleased with them and they would have a good relationship with him. And Jesus was saying, you're missing it. You guys are working so hard at something that's actually quite empty, as if a relationship with God depended on you. And then Jesus prayed, and he said these following words that I think for some of us are the breath of fresh air that our souls are desperately searching for. Jesus said this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus was introducing something incredibly powerful, incredibly different, and incredibly fresh. And it's something that for us in American culture in 2019, we are not great at and oftentimes don't even want to admit. We weren't meant to run forever, which is why Jesus, to these people, his words to them are so applicable for us today. And I don't want you to miss the power of Jesus' invitation that I think can free your soul to be and live all that it was made to be and live for. Jesus' invitation, there's three parts of it that I think matter for you and for me, and I want us to see them together. His invitation for rest included, first of all, come to me. That's where Jesus started things, because Jesus was less concerned about the amount of time you're sleeping or the amount of time you're distracting yourself. He's more concerned about you finding a deep down place inside where your soul can take a giant deep breath to remind itself that it's okay. And what if this is really the root of all that often competes for our attention and affection in American culture today? I'm not saying busy is bad. I'm just asking, are you finding space to rest? What if all that we perform for all the time can actually be found in a deep, dark place inside of us that's actually really just missing peace? Peace with God. What if all the focus on performing so we have the identity, all the interest in trying to achieve something so we can point to something and have value, what if all the desires that are deep inside places are searching for are really just tied to the big deep breath that we could take knowing that we're right with God? Because what if as creator, he created us with just enough inside us to desire that from him, but we spend ourselves in energy, in faith, at work, at school, at play, searching in all these other places to find that peace that really only God can offer? That's why an invitation like this from Jesus really matters. His exact words are, come to me. Come to me. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Side note, Jesus is making it really clear that you're not going to stumble into soul recharge. It's not just magically going to happen one day. Like, you won't distract yourself enough that you can find peace with God, because this is a soul issue. The exact words from him are tired, worn out, burned out on religion. Some of us are coming to church. We're giving at church. We're trying to involve ourselves at church so that we can say, see, God, we're good, right? 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 And Jesus is saying, you're missing it. You're missing the point. You're missing the peace because you're still busy trying to do. Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover our lives. And in a culture that often drives us to the point that we feel like we're losing control, that we can't keep it all together, that we're losing our ability to maintain the pace that is around us, Jesus' offer is, if you'll come to me, you'll recover your life. You'll find all that you've been searching for, because our culture, we're naturally trying everything we can, right? We've tried achievement. Look at what we've done. We've tried performance. See how I made these things happen? We've sought for relationships to fill those deepest needs. We've turned to substances or other things in creation as if those things can fill the void that was birthed inside us for communion with God. But all of those leave us empty. Because even after a football game, when the players get to celebrate a victory, they say, we're going to enjoy this one, but back to work, because we have to perform more. Back to achievement. Back to relationship. Well, this one is suddenly getting a little bit unhealthy, so I'm going to cast this person aside and find somebody else to fill that void. This, I'm suddenly not getting enough to satisfy me, so I need more of whatever I'm consuming to try to find that peace. But it can't be found in what we do, because what our souls are really running for is peace with God. Come to me, Jesus said, because then you don't have to perform. Then you can be satisfied. Then you can know that you're okay. And to be able to know that you're okay even when you're not, that's the opportunity for your soul to say, rest. Rest. Second part of his invitation, Jesus said, come to me and take a real rest. The first is acknowledging that it means we have to actively seek him. We're not going to stumble into this. It's not going to happen on accident. We won't suddenly get recharged one day. But the second offer is take, like receive it. Jesus can stand up here and offer all of us rest all day long, but if you and I don't get active in our pursuit to grab a hold of what he's offering, it's just an offer. So he's saying, take a real rest. Take something that really matters. His exact words from the passage were, I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'll show you what your soul is searching for. I'll show you how to find peace in a world that's anything but peaceful. I'll show you how being able to recharge in a busy life is good for you so that you can maintain the pace you've been called to. I'll show you how to take a real rest. What if from God? What if we really trusted Jesus, like we're willing to give him a chance, saying, okay, what if he does want us to turn to him for rest, for peace? What could that look like? Well, would it matter in your life? Would it matter at your pace? Would it matter at all the things you have to juggle in your journey if you could find deep down peace in your heart? Would it matter if you were able to discover a joy that was in spite of your circumstances, not because of? Would it matter to you that you can find satisfaction with your circumstances, knowing that God's in control and has plans for you? Would it matter to you that your identity becomes secure as a son or daughter of God and you don't have to perform to earn his favor? Would it matter to you that your hope is eternal and always and forever? Would it matter to you that whatever you've been, wherever you've been and whatever you've done, you are loved and that's been demonstrated, it's secure? Because to me, that's real rest. It's not performance. And praise God, it's not based on what I do. I spent 17 hours this week on social media. You see, real rest is poorly imitated. Because nobody can compete with that deep down inside your soul rest that's from God and God alone. Take. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Come to me. Take a real rest. Learn to live freely and lightly. That was his offer. That's what he was giving us, was a promise to teach us how to do this. That means that this implies that learning to rest and learning to find that deep down soul satisfaction is actually a process. It's not something that you suddenly step into or you show up right or you give enough at church that you're just like, I'm rested and I have arrived. But instead, it's a process that you learn from Jesus so that you never go back to that burdened place. You never go back to that out of control place. You would think I was an absolute fool if I showed up on this stage, put on a football jersey, and said, I'm a football player. Because it's not putting on a jersey that makes somebody a football player. It's the hours of discipline, of training, of practice, of learning, of coaching, of all those things that go into developing yourself into a football player. The jersey is just what you put on to say that you've gone through that. I can't just put it on and suddenly arrive. What Jesus is saying, what your soul is searching for is not a snap of the fingers things. It's a process that helps you live to the max. And that's his offer. Learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus specifically said, keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And maybe the message that some of you needed to hear today, louder than anything else, regardless of your background, what brought you here today, whether you have a strong faith or you feel like you have no faith, you've been a believer for Jesus for a long time, or you're really new to this or just trying to check things out, I want you to hear this. Jesus spoke these words, keep company with me. Meaning, God wants to spend time with you. The God of the universe wants to know you, to have you want to know him, to spend time with him, to recharge with him, to not have to perform, to not have to base your value on expectations of others or their belief in you or against you. It's about spending time with him and learning the free and light life that he promised. God wants to spend time with you. See, God's not trying to call you away from anything. God's trying to call you into something that you can't provide for yourself. A free and light life. Lived at peace. In spite of whatever this world throws at you. That's his offer. That's what he's seeking for you. But we can't be all that we were made to be if we don't allow our souls to recharge from the only one who can recharge it. And here's a big point that you need to understand. Because it doesn't happen both ways. The big idea that maybe some of you need to hear today is this. Pride and rest cannot coexist. Pride and rest cannot coexist. Because Jesus' invitation is come to me. Take from me. Keep company with me. But if you're too busy being focused on your life of I've got this, I don't need anybody, I don't need anything, I'll be fine, then he can't recharge a soul that doesn't realize it's running low on battery. Pride and rest cannot coexist. The book of James in the Bible even says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Why? Because the proud don't think they need to be worked on. And God will not force himself on anyone because forced love is not love. You were not made to run forever. But if you keep trying to dig in by yourself and say that you've got it, you're heading for a catastrophe because you weren't made to carry that kind of weight. Come to me, he says. So what does it look like? Even if I, Tyler, got to the place where I could admit I'm trying to do too much or I'm trying to perform too often or I'm trying to make this about me, what does it mean to come to Jesus? What does it mean to turn to him? Let me give you three practical habits that lead to rest. You can choose to do them, not forcing anybody for them, but this would be the beginning of how to find the rest that only Jesus can offer you, and it would be this. Three practices of rest. Ready? Lower your screen time. Shoot. Or download the Bible app and increase your Bible app time on your screen. Either one will work. The point of this just means this. You're going to need to work to remove distractions. Because you need to be able to listen to the deep inside parts of you when they begin to say that you're tired. And everybody gets tired. So how do you find charge in the midst of that? Well, here's a challenge for you. Spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible. That would be a minimum, but set a timer. Start somewhere, okay? You could certainly read more than that. You can read less if you want to, but what if you just set a timer and said, okay, God, I want to hear from you. I want to know more about you, so I'm going to sit down and do my best to just read this book or pull out the app, but I want to get to know you. I would encourage you, start in the book of John if you don't know about Jesus, or any gospel, to be able to spend time getting to know him more. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Use your table of contents or in the Bible app. You select the exact book you want to go to, but just spend 5 minutes, set that timer, and say, I want to know you more, God. See what he does. The third thing, spend 5 minutes, again, minimum, taking a walk. And I put that in parentheses because I wish I had time to unpack the science to you that exists, that when you occupy your mind with mundane tasks that you do, it clears out the clutter and allows you to focus on what's important. Here's what I mean. Sometimes you are all the product, you're all benefiting from moments that I get in the shower. Sound weird? It should. The messages that I bring to you that are the strongest are when in the shower I'm doing something that takes just enough of my focus that I can drown out all the noise and hear specifically the thoughts that I want to focus on. So take a walk and see what God says to you. Either focus in the shower. Driving. What if in your driving you could put it on your focus? I'm getting to where I'm going, but I'm going to turn the radio off and just say, God, I'm trying to keep company with you. What does that mean? Maybe it means on your lunch break, you dedicate a walk. You go, you get out of the office, just take a lap around the building, a lap around the block, but say, God, I'm walking. I want to figure out what it looks like to walk and to talk with you. But to find those times, the hobbies, where you can do it without even having to think about it, that it drowns out the noise, but you get to hear from God. That's the invitation. That's the focus on taking a walk this week, because it's not about what you do. The temptation here is going to be to say, well, now I can perform my way into rest, and you're missing the whole point. The point is real rest, which is found in time spent with God. That's the offer from Jesus. Can I ask you something? Have you found real rest? Have you found real rest? A week from tomorrow, Monday, October 14th, our church is going to have a night of worship. And in worship, we're going to sing. We're going to celebrate God. We'll take communion together. It's going to happen at the Tyrone and the downtown campuses. It's in the Bridgepoint app. It's online. You can find more information about it. But this is the opportunity to say, I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to find time to be with his people and celebrate what he's doing. We got a serve day coming up at the end of the month to carve out space and give back to folks that need to know where they can find rest. Lots of things that are available to you, but this is your question. Have you found real rest? And maybe it begins by acknowledging that you're tired and you can't provide the rest that your soul is searching for. And you're in good company. Because that's why it was Jesus' place. To be able to come to him and say, God, I can't do this. And then to take from him. Taking is going to mean you're going to receive rest from him, but you'll have to change how you live your life, because if it was all about what you've been doing, then that would work, but that's not working. So now it's about taking from God and turning towards what he has for you. And then just a willingness that says, God, I want to commit to this. I am tired. I am worn out. I do want to find rest, because you were made for that. What if that was true for you? But the big question is, are you going to allow paranoia to overtake your heart? The anxiety and stress, because you know you have those seasons. You know you've seen those symptoms. You know you've felt that weight when things aren't okay or you're losing control. You've seen the byproduct of the result of your frustration, of your lack of rest start to come out. Are you going to open up your heart to something more? Or are you going to stay busy just saying, I've got this? I've got this. The invitation from Jesus is, are you tired? Worn out? Burn out on religion? Come to me. I don't know where you are today on any campus in your faith journey, but I want you to know that there's a God that sees you, that knows your circumstances, and his invitation to you stands to come to him. So we're going to do something a little bit different today. And on every campus, I just want you to hear a song sung to you as if Jesus was the one speaking the words to you. I don't want you to hear a band. I don't want you to take the words of a speaker. I just want you to carve out some space to allow all the things that are competing for attention in your mind to wait outside of your campus today. To just take a moment for your soul to rest. The band on every campus is going to sing us a song. I want you to stay seated during the song. Some of you may want to close your eyes and allow the words to be sung over you. Some of you may want to watch the words on the screen. Whatever you need to do, but just staying seated, I want you to hear an invitation as if God himself, Jesus, was singing it to you. Because his invitation's for you. Are you going to open your heart and allow him to recharge you? Allow your soul to find rest. So right where you are on every campus.